Hello and welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice from the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howell, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources.
Okay, before we get to our very special guest, Jonathan.
Yep.
I need to let the listeners know that you and I have been having a little bit of differences, a little bit of concern with each other. This, ladies and gentlemen,
I don't think it's you and I with one another.
Okay,
it's well, pretty much one-sided.
Well, whatever. And so we are doing this interview, and I want all the listeners to be aware of this because, you know, we go to places with Jonathan, and Jonathan is just the rock star.
Oh, whatever.
Do your voice,
whatever.
Jonathan. Do your voice. And I've just got to let the listeners know that we're doing an interview, and that means Jonathan's here, I'm here, and Brad Lominick is here.
Yes.
Three people, yeah. And we have two microphones.
Yes.
So here is this rock star podcast with this rock star host, and we are passing microphones around.
It's because we're flexible like that.
We're flexible, nimble, and you are absent-minded today.
And I left the other one at the house.
Why are the microphones at your house?
Recording the other podcast.
Oh, got it.
I do that at night.
I got it. Whatever.
So, and then, I had a sick kid today.
Okay.
So you're kicking a dog while he's down.
Okay. I feel badly for you. Let's move on.
Okay.
So we've got Brad Lominick today. And I just got to tell you, the podcast that we did with him sometime back was just absolutely off the charts. Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
People hear the name and they think about Catalyst and what he did there. And there's so much else that's going on in his life. But we're going to start now with really kind of getting a catch up from Brad.
Yep.
And but before we get to Brad, we've always got to express our thanks for Vander Blumen and for all that they do and the ministry they have and the fact that they've been a great sponsor for us from almost the onset since we've had sponsorships. Yep. For sure.
Yeah, and they've done a great job, and we appreciate their support. And Vander Blumen Search Group, they are the premier pastor search firm dedicated to helping churches and ministries build great teams. They've helped hundreds of churches just like yours find their church staff and are uniquely geared to help you discern who God is calling to lead your church. You can find out more about Vander Blumen Search Group by visiting westaffthechurch.com. So
our guest, of course, is Brad Lominick, and so many people still associate him with Catalyst, even though that's a part of his rearview mirror and what he did there and the great, great platform that was there. And we talked about with Brad last time about how God led him to the next phase of life, even though he wasn't sure about what all the details were. So, Brad, here's what I'm doing. Since you and I, between the two of us, only have one microphone, I am going to pass it over here very gently. And first, I'll say welcome, and then second of all, just give us an update on what's going on with you.
Yeah, and because people can't see that you actually did pass the mic to me, Jonathan, I'm a little disappointed in you, buddy.
I'm never going to live this down.
No, you're not. No,
it's going to be like the worst episode ever.
But the good news is that people think this is a big podcast, which it is.
It is.
But you're still sort of winging it.
Well, we're not winging it. I just have two microphones today.
Yeah, I love it.
All the days. The day when we have the third person.
I'm honored to be back for a second time. I didn't.
We've had very few repeat guests.
I was going to say, I listen to the podcast regularly, and I haven't heard many repeat guests, so I'm honored to be back in the house. And to answer your question, Tom, I tell people now that I went from thousands and sort of gathering thousands to now I feel like I'm gathering tens.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my world has been for the last year, is really spending a lot of time and energy with a few organizations and a few leaders, trying to speak into them and speak into what they're doing. And so some people would call that consulting. I call it more strategic advising, and I feel like that I've shrunk my circle of connection and impact and influence down to just a smaller group of people that I'm really trying to make a difference and invest in what they're doing. And so that's a big part of my world right now. I'm speaking a little bit more than I was before.
Than last time you were here?
Yes, yeah. And I still don't do a lot of that, but I'm doing more than I probably ever have. And then obviously this book's coming out. So that's sort of the update on my life. And I'm a year and a half into what I set out and really felt like that I wanted to create a window of 3 years after leaving Catalyst where I could just be a free agent. I could get my hands in lots of different sandboxes and be involved in lots of different things and let that play out as maybe the next step to what's
whatever.
Next. Yeah. And but I, you know, people, I just tell people the what's next is really the what's now for me. I mean, I'm not looking for the next season because I don't want to miss this one.
Oh, well, that's a good word. Well, let's talk about the book for just a moment, or for several moments. When I saw it for the first time, my immediate reaction, and I'm looking right now at the Vance Reader's copy, my immediate reaction was, I got to get this. I mean, H3 Leadership, love the title, love the three H's, humble, hungry, and hustle.
Yeah.
There's so much about this that makes me want to pick this up that actually I will end up picking it up and getting it and probably passing around a few copies. Give us an overview and tell us what's going on with the book.
Well, this is my attempt to to try to create a really practical playbook for leadership. And I feel like The Catalyst Leader, which was the first book I wrote, was more of a staff handbook.
Okay.
It was more of a 20,000 foot level overview perspective on the essentials of leadership, big picture. And this book, H3 Leadership, I hope, is much more of a practical application, put it into practice today. And so there's the premise of the title is that that's always been my leadership mantra. Ever since I was in my 20s, early 20s, people would ask me, hey, how do you describe your leadership? And I would say, humble, hungry, hustle. Like, those are the things that I really want to try to live out. And that being important because I feel like those are three parts of the stool that have to stand together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if a lot of leaders would say humility is really important, but I feel like you got to put hustle on the other side of that. Because I know a lot of leaders who are really humble that don't do anything.
They have reason for their humility.
Then. Yeah. And I know a lot of leaders who hustle and will get it done, but it's all about them. And then you put hungry in the middle of that, which is sort of the how to get there. And that posture of I'm never too old to learn. I've never arrived. The process is still what defines me. I got to be faithful in the journey. So I think those three have to go together. To make up what I would say is, again, my leadership mantra, but also I think what makes a great leader.
Okay. In the book, you talk about 20 essential leadership habits.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask you to
repeat. I can't tell you all of them.
It's kind of like my book. You're probably like I am. You're doing a radio interview, and they say, and you say in this chapter, and
like,
you
really?
Start turning there.
That sounds good. I said that.
So talk to us about some of the key leadership, essential leadership habits that you mentioned in the book.
Yeah. Well, we start out with a habit of self-discovery. And really, that's a habit of identity. And for me, coming out of the season I was in, the reason I started with that habit under the first leg of humble, this habit of self-discovery was so important. And I think it is for every leader, because if you don't understand your identity as a leader and your true identity, then you're never going to be able to advance and really be effective and have impact. And so that's sort of the cornerstone that we started with. And, you know, I think I said this on the last podcast, but when I came out of Catalyst, of running Catalyst for 10 plus years, the hardest thing for me as a leader was to wrestle with identity. And it was that question of is who you are what you do? And does what you do define who you are? And I had to go back to being stripped of that and then going, well, who am I really at the end of the day? Well, I'm Brad. I'm a follower of Jesus, and I'm good with that. Like, I'm content with that as my habit of self-discovery and identity. But a lot of us, we get so far beyond that, I think, in our pursuit of what we're doing, that we always forget who we are at the very beginning of the journey. So that's where we start the book. In the middle of the book, I'll just give you a couple more. A habit of execution. I think a habit of execution is perhaps the most important quality of a leader today. And, you know, I wouldn't argue that it's where it sits on the list, but I just believe that leaders today have to be willing to get it done. No longer can you be a leader and sit in the corner office with your feet up, drinking a spritzer and barking orders to your people. Now, there are a few exceptions to the rule, but I think today we've got to be leaders who are dirty-handed in the trenches, willing to execute beside our team.
You think that's because you've seen such a different paradigm of leadership over the last maybe half century, where everything used to be real hierarchical, and now everything's really flat?
Absolutely.
Organizations have flattened out massively.
Yeah. Well, not only have organizations flattened out, but organizations have shrunk.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the average organization become today leaner. Is smaller.
Yeah.
They're leaner. And the idea that if you're starting something, or if you're a free agent, or if you're an entrepreneur, if you're a social innovator, you may be a great idea person. But if you can't get it done,
doesn't matter.
You're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And so I just think it's changed the game. And
the you can't leaders, be a one-tool player anymore.
Right. And the leaders I respect, not because they're always willing to get into stuff they shouldn't be in, but they're willing to get beside me in the trenches and say, if it takes me getting in here and moving boxes alongside you, I'm willing to do that. So that's, again, it's a habit. It's a posture that says, we'll make it happen. And we take things to the finish line. That's a big part of execution, is we're willing to move the ball across the goal line. And so many organizations have so many projects that are about the 20-yard line on their end of the field, maybe the 30. And they started out great. They got a first down. They came out of the gate with a great concept, and then it just sets on the sideline. And you look at all these things and you go, huh, I know what's missing here. You're missing somebody who is a make-it-happen person.
Mm-hmm. Now, is that something you can develop?
Yeah, no question. Yeah, and I think the more people you surround yourself with who are executors, the better off your organization will be in having that kind of habit. You know, if that's just making sure you balance out the organization, the nonprofit, the business effectively. So if you got a bunch of idea people without any executors on the team, you're gonna struggle.
Yeah. What does that look like in a local church, though?
You know, I don't think that the local church expression is really any different in regards to making sure that you have this posture that says we make things happen. And actually, the local church, because Sunday's coming, you have to execute. If you're a teaching pastor, you have to execute and say, I'm going to be ready for Sunday. You know, I mean, you're naturally forced to have to make sure that you get ready for next Sunday.
You know, I don't want to turn this discussion into my own thoughts, because I'd rather hear from you every time, but maybe you can augment some of these thoughts I'm about to have. If there is lack of execution in the local church, particularly in North America, the lack of execution is what I would call, for lack of better words, an outward focus. There is there's execution on preaching, there's execution on programs if it's a programmatic church, but very few churches are actually doing something about reaching beyond themselves.
Yes.
And so there seems to be no one in charge, or no one responsible, or no one accountable for reaching beyond their own area. And so as a result, we're seeing more and more churches get smaller and smaller, and we're seeing fewer and fewer people who are not Christians being reached with the gospel.
Yeah, and a lot of people would think execution means you get tasks done. It's bigger than that. I mean, tasks are included in the idea of moving things across the finish line. But I love the idea of Seth Godin when he says you have to have a culture that says we're going to ship. Like, we won't just leave things in the warehouse.
That's good.
We will ship.
Good metaphor.
We will push things out the door, even if it's not perfect yet. You know, we just have this posture that says we're going to move the ball forward on a consistent basis. And then the last habit, just again, 3 out of 20, is a habit of succession. And we talked about this on the last podcast, but just the idea that your legacy as a leader is, I would say, having walked through a transition and a succession and a passing on of the baton, your legacy as a leader will be as much defined by the way you hand something off that you helped build as by the way you built it.
Wow.
And that is a hard thing to do as a leader, because when you build it, when you help build it, when you're part of building it, and then you walk away from it, everything within you wants to turn around and, one, look at it and go, well, it's probably not going to be as good without me there. And two, you want to sabotage it.
Yeah.
Even to the own demise of the thing you actually built.
Wow.
And so I just have learned this over the last year of, you know, walking out of something pretty early in life with Catalyst and being able to look back and go, man, I'm for it. Like, I am pro Catalyst, and I always will be. And I want to see it succeed. And that's a sign and actually a measurement of success of my leadership, is that it goes on without me and does really well.
Okay. I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast that I saw the book and I wanted to pick it up. And that is not just some type of puff that I'm giving you because you're here. There's so much about this that I'm just looking at it on the surface and saying, I really, really want to dig into this. Here's my question, Brad. Who needs this book?
That's a great question. I really wrote it for what I would say is my tribe and my audience, which I feel like is the first half leader and really the second quarter leader, which is that leader who's kind of in the 28 to
I remember
37, 38 year
many,
old.
Many decades
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, that wasn't too long ago for you.
Yeah, right.
Are you a third quarter guy or are you?
Fifth quarter.
you're at the lock-in is where you are.
I'm at the lock-in.
That's what they called the lock-in at my church, the fifth quarter.
Oh, okay.
Because it was after the Friday football game, and it was the fifth quarter.
Oh, yeah, I remember those.
Yeah,
does that mean I'm dead?
You said it. You said fifth quarter. I didn't. But I feel like that really the audience, the true audience, is that second quarter leader who's, you know, late 20s, early 30s, mid-30s. But I hope everybody can gain some value from it. But that's who I really want to impact.
Sure.
Is that young leader who's just behind me. And to be able to pass on some lessons, and really, this is a lessons book. I'm really pretty vulnerable in this book, and I try to share more of the things that I have failed at than that I've done right, because I think we learn from things.
Sure.
When people go, hey, you know what, I screwed that up, and I did that terribly, and here's some things I can pass on to you. So it doesn't mean a 60-year-old. Can't read it. And
thank you. I'm 60 years old.
Yeah, I was saying that to you.
Yes,
directly,
thank you.
Indirectly.
Yes,
but that's really who I'm writing it for.
This is a segue back to your 20 and 30 something audience. One of your most popular blog features has been your young influencers list. People love it. Why is it resonating so well?
Well, you know, I started doing that 2008, 7 or 8, and it was actually more of an exercise for me to make sure that I was keeping my eyes and ears open and looking out to find the next wave. And unless you're intentional about that, you won't actually look for them. I mean, you'll only look for them if they show up and scream really loud at you or they send you multiple emails. So it really became an exercise for me in making sure that I was keeping my my eyes and ears open and sort of my attention focused on that young leader who may not have a platform yet. And so I think, you know, like any other list that's out there, whether it's the Fortune 100 or it's the Fast Company 100 or the most creative people in business or whatever the list is, there's people are really interested in you curating something for them from some category that they can then sort of scan and go, oh, okay. Like, thank you for helping me find that young leader that now I can either have some sense of awareness of their organization or what they're doing, or you validated for me that they're the real deal. And so now I just looked at the list the other day. I'm up to 500 leaders.
Wow.
Who have been on that list. And it's primarily been leaders who are under 35, sort of the 21 to 35 year old. There's been a few late 30s and even a few over 40 here and there. I want to kind of start, Tom, the used to be young list or the were it young at some point list.
The beginning of the third quarter list.
Yeah, because I want to be on it.
You can't be on your own list.
I want to be on my own list. But now it's, people are like, hey, I saw so-and-so's name on the list, on your young influencers list, or thank you for putting me on that list. And man, it's cool that it's now sort of a, I don't know, validation for people. But I really did it for my own, for making sure that I was staying in my lane. Of being a platform builder for the leaders who don't have a platform yet. And that's really what Catalyst was for all those years. And I still feel like I'm doing that, is I'm helping build platforms that I can put other people on and make it about them and give them some elevation to the next level.
Who are some people that we might want to kind of keep an eye on?
From that list
from
or
that
just
list.
In general?
Just
oh,
well,
gosh,
from that
I
list.
Need to, like,
well,
I, need I, mean, a, I need to look at it. You put me on the spot.
Well, I don't want you to have to like exclude anyone, but just some that you kind of remember that you go, you know, I saw that, and then, you know, a couple of years later, wow, it came to fruition. And
yeah, there's actually been a lot of bands that I put on there. A great band that I really love is Johnny Swim, who, you know, is we had a Catalyst several times over the years, and they kind of became a, you know, an indie folk band sensation and got to be on several of the late night talk shows. But I saw them 7 years ago. And was just like blown away. It's a husband and wife duo. And, you know, 2 years later, they were, maybe 3 years later, they were on Jimmy Fallon. And I, you know, there was a part of me, yeah, that was like, yeah, I knew it before they were a big deal. Yeah, I found them. I found them early on.
Okay, we're talking with Brad Lominick. And again, even though Catalyst is now in his rearview mirror, many of you know him from that era of his life. But I got to tell you, folks, I got to tell you, listeners, this book, H3 Leadership, Humble, Hungry, Hustle, Be Humble, Stay Hungry, Always Hustle, is just, I think it's just ripe to be taken by not only would-be leaders, but leaders today, because all of those three are who we should be today, not just in the future or looking toward the future. So, as always, dude, it's great to have you on this podcast.
So fun to be here.
Well, it is fun to have you. And, you know, I'm glad you got the only microphone for one person. And I will.
And I both have now taken away Jonathan. So we've left him in the ditch over here on the side of the table.
No. Well, I'm about to return it to him and let him finish up the show. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you for having me.
He didn't want to read the sponsorship. He wants me to do it.
You want me to do it?
No, that's okay. Fine. That's fine.
I can do it if you need me
to.
Well,
I appreciate that, though. Trinity Evangelical Divinity School is a dynamic community of learners who are serious about ministry preparation, biblical studies, theological reflection, and cultural engagement. Their faculty are gifted men and women who minister as much through research and writing as through local church involvement, but their primary ministry is teaching and caring for students. Find out more about TEDS at divinity.tiu.edu. That's going to do it for today's episode of Rainer on Leadership. Any final closing thoughts, Dr. Rainer?
Think about a segue, Jonathan. We're talking about a guy who's passionate about the younger and the next generation, and then our sponsor is Trinity, that's preparing the next generation theologically. And think of the influence that David Dockery, the president of Trinity, has had on so many generations. So just kind of worked out well.
Yep.
But it's, you know, we always have to have Brad hit back. Brad Lominick is just that kind of rock star that makes a difference. And he has that humility, that hunger, and that hustle. And look forward to seeing what this book is going to do.
Thanks for joining us today on Rainer on Leadership. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us online at tomrainer.com.